Good evening. By request of Brother Brian, we ask you to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 6, and we'll read the first seven verses. Isaiah 6, 1 through 7. Just reading over it briefly here, it's the account of Isaiah's vision when he sees the holiness and the glory of God, realizes the holiness of God, and then realizes man's weakness and his inferiority. It's a very good portion of Scripture to start out a Love Feast weekend, I believe. I'm anxious to hear what Brother Brian has for us here this evening. Isaiah 6, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Let's kneel before the Lord in prayer.
We greet each one of you tonight in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of the sermon this evening is, Oh, the Mighty Gulf That God Did Span. Do you ever get a tune in your head and you can't get it out? It's the power of music, I think. It's the power of music and what you listen to and what you fill your mind with. Music is powerful. It's easy to remember the words to songs. That song at Calvary has gone through my mind over and over again recently. And there's one phrase in there in the fourth verse, Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. And I got to thinking about that, and we'd like to think about that tonight for a while. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span. You're familiar with what a gulf is. It's a great chasm. It's a great divide. It's a gorge, an abyss, a wide gap, a deep ravine. It separates two things, like the Gulf of Mexico separates Mexico from Texas. A gulf, it's vast, it's seemingly unbridgeable, an uncrossable area. And the gulf in the song at Calvary describes that gap between a holy God and sinful man. The gulf described in that song is made up of two parts. On one side is a holy God. Holy, holy by definition is separate. And on the other side, sinful man. You see, holy God and sinful man are separated by a great divide. It's clearly taught in Scripture. Isaiah 59, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, your shortcomings has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. This separation began, this gulf began as soon as Adam and Eve sinned. In Genesis chapter 3, it says, And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You see, it was a gulf. It was a gulf. Exodus 20. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet, and that the mountain was smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. You see, it's not only God that's separate, but the people, a sinful people, know in their heart that they can't stand to be in the presence of a holy God, and they separate themselves. There is a gulf, a chasm, a seemingly unbridgeable gap between God and sinful man. Sometimes we need reminded of that. Have you forgotten? Have you gotten over what God has done for you? Have you forgotten how lost and hopeless and separated your condition was? Have you gotten over the fact that God loved you enough? He had a plan. He had a way to bridge that seemingly unbridgeable gap. I'd like you to consider that for a few minutes this evening. Point number one, that God is holy. Do you need to be reminded this evening that God is holy? Holy means completely different, completely separate, utterly distinct. God is not like man or any created being at all. He's separate, he's different. He's not just smarter. He's not just stronger. He's not just better, he's holy. He's completely different, distinct and set apart. We use the word transcendent to describe that forever God stands alone, stands apart. He's unattainable, he's glory, he's light, he's unapproachable. Hannah got it right in 1 Samuel when she said, There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Moses got it right when he said in Exodus 15, Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? Have you forgotten what it means to say that God is holy? Holy also means completely whole, perfect, moral perfection, absolutely pure. God is independently, infinitely, unchangeably holy. We see that clearly in Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Here the prophet Isaiah gets a glimpse, a slight glimpse of the glory of God as he sits enthroned in majesty. In his presence he saw an intensity, a purity, a radiance. It was so much that even the angels, the cherubims, had to cover their faces in his presence, because they could not stand to look upon him. These same cherubim had to cover their feet because they weren't worthy to be in his very presence. And they cried, Holy, holy, holy. That means holy with an amen behind it. Holy, amen, holy, amen. Holy, amen. Scripture says that God's name is holy. Holiness is not an attribute of God. Holiness is what he is. It's who he is. Can you see the intensity as these seraphim cry out, Holy, holy, holy? Do you need reminded of that this evening? Have you forgotten how holy God is? Brothers and sisters, get it straight in your mind tonight. God is not the man upstairs. God is not some kindly old gentleman with a white beard that winks at our sins. God is not a man that says, boys will be boys. God is holy, holy, holy. And on the other side of that great gulf from the holy God is sinful man. Man is different than God. In addition to an accurate view of who God is, we need an accurate view of who man is. Man is a created being, created for one purpose, and that purpose is the same for every created thing. It's to glorify God. It's the reason that man was created. We're created to serve and to obey and to point and glorify our Creator. We are not sovereign. We're not in control. We are not God. Revelation chapter 4 describes a scene in heaven where 24 elders worship God and they cry out, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." We each would do well tonight to remember that we're not God. We're creatures. We're created beings. Romans describes the downfall of man when he gets that backwards. Romans chapter 1, describing the man who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature, ourselves perhaps, even more than the Creator who is blessed forever. Man is sinful. Scripture is clear. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Old Testament saints understood this truth. Isaiah said in Isaiah 64, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." The psalmist says in Psalm 51, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Have you forgotten who you are compared to a holy God? In the text that was read for us this evening, Isaiah had the correct view. As he gazes upon the holiness of God, he trembles with amazement, he trembles with fear and reverence, and he cries out, "Woe unto me, for I am undone." It means I'm coming apart. I'm disintegrating because I have seen the holiness of God. He sees God and he knows that he was created a sinful man. He sees God and he knows that he is in a depraved condition. He's helpless and needy, and he cries out in verse 5, "Woe is me, for I am undone, and I am a man of unclean lips, and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." Seems to be in Scripture a standard response to getting a glimpse of the glory of God. Job cries out in Job 42, "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I have abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Daniel cries out in Daniel 10, "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision My sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? As for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there any breath left in me. Peter cries out after getting a glimpse of the holiness of Jesus. He fell down at Jesus' feet and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." What about you? As you read these verses and get a small glimpse of the holiness of God, as you remember the truths, do you remember how lost and needy you were without God? Do you remember the sin that Jesus Christ saved you from? Can you remember that great uncrossable gulf, that mighty gulf that did separate you from God? We humans are one side of a great canyon, and God is on the other side, and there's a great gulf between us. That's the way it would remain, except for two words: but God. But God. Don't you love those two words in Scripture? Psalm 49 says, "Like sheep they are laid in the grave, and death shall feed on them. And the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling." Then it says, "But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me." Romans 5:8 starts, "But God. But God commendeth his love towards us, and now that we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Ephesians 2 says, "And you he hath quickened, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we also had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, and for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved." But God was rich in mercy. But God had abundant love for us. But God reached out and he bridged the gap. He made a way across that mighty gulf. He spanned the uncrossable chasm when he sent his son Jesus Christ to suffer and die and pay the price for your sin and mine. We've been restored, and we have sweet fellowship with God because of God. Because of God. God did not remain on his side of that great gap. God did not remain aloof. God did not remain separated from us. He didn't remain on his side. He came to us. He came for us. God sought us out. We were lost sheep. We were the lost coin. We were the prodigal sons. But a holy God loved us that much that he came for us and made a way. Every time I think of it, it amazes me that a holy God would love a sinful man and a sinful woman. It's amazing. Psalm 8, the psalmist says it, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that you would visit him?" Isaiah 6, verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Can you picture the great atoning blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Can you see the cleansing and the purging that we have from our sins? Isaiah here had a true picture of the holiness of God. He had a true picture of sinful man. And he experienced a true cleansing and forgiveness of his sins. Having each of us tonight, thanks be to God that he didn't stay on his side of that gap, of that gulf. Tonight, we, like Moses, can stand in the cleft of the rock, the broken body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that rock of ages, and have communion and fellowship and relationship with the Holy God. Tonight, the mighty gulf has been spanned because of the love of God and because of the death of his Son, Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder the hymn writer penned those words about Calvary? Just listen to them. By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. He cries out in the refrain, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. And there my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. I hope you get that song in your mind as you go to bed tonight. Think about it. Think about it. Meditate on it as your last thoughts as you drift off to sleep about the mighty gulf that God did span. How God, out of his love, was able to bring a holy God into a right relationship with sinful man. May God bless you.
All who are able, please stand for closing prayer.